Since 1961, Quartz Plumbing has offered friendly, reliable service to residences all over Bergen County, New Jersey. We are a fourth-generation family-owned business, unmatched in customer satisfaction and professionalism while working in your home. We are the Hydronic Heating and Water Filtration Specialists, with a workmanship guarantee to put you at ease so you can rest comfortably. We offer financing for those big projects that catch you off guard, and we have a network of excellent contractors in all fields for any project you wish to tackle. Call our responsive office team, and we'll dispatch a handsome and educated technician to lay the smack down on all your plumbing issues. You can also find us at quartzplumbing.com, search us on Google, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Like, subscribe, and share, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Plum Bums Podcast, the blue collar tradesman show where we talk about... Let me do that again. I gotta catch my breath from running around. Jeez. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Plum Bums Podcast, the blue collar tradesman show where we talk about small business and entrepreneurship in these crazy times. I'm your host, Phil. And with us, as always, is...
The monkey, Max. I'm the monkey.
Where'd that come from?
Like the sidekick monkey. You said, I'm your host, Phil. The little monkey on the side is...
What sidekick are you thinking about that's a monkey?
It's, Well, no, I'm not... In my head, it's monkey, but I'm like, you're Jimmy Kimmel. I'm, what's his name, Pedro?
I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, okay,
you fine. Watch Jimmy Kimmel?
I've seen it.
What are you?
Do you know who Jimmy Kimmel
are you,
50? Is?
50? Yes, I know who Jimmy Kimmel
is. Do you know who Jimmy Fallon is?
Jimmy Fallon, are you talking about?
Both of them. They all have sidekicks.
A sidekick?
They all have like a little sidekick.
None of them are monkeys.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that was quite a tangent to take. Everyone's starting the show. How you doing, Max? How you feeling?
Doing fine. It's busy. We're into the
busy
season.
Well, because it's cold out now, Finally. Selling some nice big jobs out there. I'm getting the notification on my phone. What? I'm proud
it's
of you.
Because I finally had time to do it instead of just running around doing your work.
Okay. Okay. Well, did you have a hard day? It sounds like you had a hard day.
No, it's just long days.
I had a hard day.
Long days. I still have to go to school. You don't.
It's Thursday.
We're talking about the week, right? Oh. All week I've been going to school.
2 days out of the week you go to school.
Monday this week too. I have to make up a class.
You have to make 3 days this week?
Yeah. And I have to make 3 days next week.
I'll go to school. You can do all the computer work.
You don't want to go to school. You hated it.
I do hate school. I don't do good in school, which is why I didn't finish college and barely went to high school my last 2 years. As soon as I got my license, and drove a car to school, like leaving for every period.
Yeah.
I should have never gone to college. That was a mistake, but I didn't know what to do at 20 years old.
Nobody does. You went at 20?
I went at 20. 18? I waited a couple of years.
Yeah.
I worked, like you say, to do, like you advise.
Well, isn't there like there's a stat or some sort of evidence that shows that your brain isn't even fully developed until you're like 25 years old?
Boys are not developed until like 25, 27-ish.
Yeah.
Not even done. Girls, I don't know. I don't know anything about girls. This is a blue-collar tradesman show. Actually, if there are any female tradesmen, I'd love to have them on and get your perspective, you know? But there's not a lot. So I guess equality goes out the door.
Yeah. There's one famous one on YouTube and Instagram that I've seen some of her stuff. She's an electrician. They always choose electrician.
Yeah, because it's clean. It's clean. And,
never the plumber.
It's clean and hoity-toity.
Yeah. Or now the new big thing is refinishing old furniture. They'll like find, I see these women online because they
that's
love.
That's a hobby though.
That's, I know, but I'm just saying they love these like little tchotchkes or these, the old furniture, and they refinish it and then sell it for $12,000 when they took it off of the.
That's a great business.
I guess.
Let's get one on. Anyone refinish furniture? That's a great business. Refinishing antiques, restoring antiques. There's a fly flying around.
Forget about the fly. Don't worry
about
the fly.
We're going to have to.
Don't worry about the fly.
You know who makes a big deal about flies on the show? Judge Judy. on her.
You just want everybody to see that there's a poster there.
She goes, "Bird, there's a fly flying around. Take this fly swatter, please. It's annoying the plaintiff." If you didn't notice our new addition, which you can barely see because the lights reflect off the finish of the poster, is my personal hero. I know you love her.
Mm-hmm.
Judge Judy, the one and only. So we've mentioned this on the show before, how when we're working together on lunch, we'll just go to the deli, pick up a sandwich, sit in the truck, and just watch episodes of Judge Judy while eating our lunch in silence.
It's, you know what? You know, I think YouTube does this thing where it'll recommend you certain videos at certain times of the day because it knows what you're doing, how you're feeling at certain times of the day. So I noticed, even if I didn't like get lunch or anything like that, but between like 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock,
it's Judge Judy.
All Judge Judy. It's all Judge Judy. And then like 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it's all The Sopranos for me.
The winding down, those, the yeah. winding down show.
Yeah.
I love her, man. I don't know what it... I didn't like her growing up. I thought she was such a jerk. And now that I'm growing up and like dealing with people, I'm like, gosh, I wish
we all become cranky old Jewish ladies at the end of our lives.
The end. I'm like, well, I don't
you're
know.
At the end with the surgeries and the, you know.
Oh, yeah, did we talk about that on the last episode?
I think so. But that I said that you get your tooth pulled. You get surgery technically. All right. No smoking, no candy. These are things that the doctor doesn't even have to tell you. It's very obvious.
I'm like leaving the dentist with a cigar and a Snickers bar.
A cigarette and a fucking Coke. Sorry for the F-bomb, but a Coke and a cigarette.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you know what? I'm not even going to get into it, why I chose to do that.
You don't have to.
But I will say this.
And then you left it. Hold on, I'm sorry. But then you left it in the transit, which I wasn't ready for. I had to wait to switch the trucks the other day, and all I see is this dinosaur tooth in the dashboard.
I got big roots. The dentist
and it's
goes
gross.
The dentist goes, "Holy cow, you got your teeth. You got roots and good bone structure." I'm like, "Well, it's not doing me any good. I've had to have three teeth pulled."
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't tell you the reason why I cracked my tooth, the first one, because I'm embarrassed. Okay, so listen. When I was in my like rebellious phase of like 17, 18. And I know you hate this and I hate it too. I had my eyebrow pierced, my ears pierced several, and I had a tongue piercing.
You're gay. You're gross.
Listen, I'm not going to argue with you, okay? It's stupid, but it's what, you know, what some kids do to rebel. They get the piercings and stuff. When you first get your tongue pierced, they give you, because your tongue swells up. Like you have, like, when you bite into this thing.
From piercing it?
From piercing it, your tongue swells up. So they give you this really long bar. And they say, okay, when your tongue goes down, switch it out for a shorter one. Did I do that? No. I just rolled around with the long one, and you flick it around in your mouth, and you like, and I bit down on the metal ball, and it split the tooth years ago. And then over time, like, it was a very sensitive tooth, and then that tooth kind of broke away, and then I had to get surgery on it. And then the other tooth cracks so Sunday I'm like hanging out. I'm like doing laundry, really relaxing day. And I'm like, I'm making tacos just for myself. I'm just going to make a whole batch of tacos. So I'm cooking the ground beef, cutting the tomatoes. I literally had everything laid out like I was at Chipotle by myself. I make a soft taco. The first bite, I get in the ground beef some kind of gristle or bone. And I drop the taco and I just... Oh my gosh. And it shattered through the whole tooth all the way up to the root. So I go to the dentist and he's like, "I don't see anything." I was like, "Dude, it's cracked. Okay. I didn't come here for my health. There's definitely a crack." And he moves the mirror and he goes, "Oh," I could hear him. He goes, "Oh, how long have you had that?" I was like, "A couple days. I couldn't get into you until today." So he's like, "Geez. All right. So it definitely has to be removed. I can get you in 2 weeks." And it wasn't hurting that bad unless I drank cold water. So I'm like, all right, fine. Make the appointment for 2 weeks. 4 days later, it's Saturday. No dentist to be found. The tooth starts screaming. And the nerve is just on fire, dude. Tooth pain is unmatched. I'm sorry. I've never given birth. Never will give birth. Hear horror stories about giving birth. But tooth pain is the most excruciating. It's blinding.
Does dementia run in the family too?
Why?
You've told this story.
We've told a lot of stories and repeat
stories. You've told this story specifically.
Have you listened to this story?
With the specific women, I'm sorry. I've never had childbirth, but...
So...
You got bad teeth. You got bad teeth. Very bad teeth.
No, I have good teeth. You saw the root. You saw the root in the bag.
The root's doing you no good.
That's what I'm saying. The doctor's like, you got great bone structure and roots. I was like, it doesn't mean anything if you eat a taco with bone in it. Anyway, guys, as always, thanks for joining us. We want to remind you that this show is sponsored by Jigsaw PMR, jigsawpmr.com. Remediation for mold, fire, sewer, water, any damage in your home, freezing pipes, leaking sewer, sewer backup that floods your finished basement. Jigsaw PMR will be there to take care of your every need. They're one of our most responsive contractors. We've worked with these guys for years. They're phenomenal. They have all the high-tech gadgets and all this stuff to come into your home, find water or mold wherever it may be hiding, and take care of it. So check them out, jigsawpmr.com. Also, we want to remind you that we're always looking for cool guests who are in a cool industry, running a cool business, any type of entrepreneur or small business owner. We'd love to have you on. If you're interested in being on the show, you're going to go to quartzplumbing.com. You're going to click the podcast link up in the top right corner, and you're going to scroll down and click the Be a Guest application. Fill that out. We'll have a conversation. We'll get you on. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, back to the show. Today, we have Joe from a really, actually, this is pivotal in the blue collar industry realm, all this stuff. Joe is from Procured. How do you say that?
Procured.
Yeah. Why can't I say that?
Procured. I don't know, maybe we got to update the name of the company, it sounds like.
Well, I don't know. I'm dumber than most blue-collar contractors.
Yeah. I guess let's just say, how did the name get started? How'd you come up with that name?
Well, I feel like the procurement industry, right, it's all about invoicing. So Procured is a software to provide, estimates, quotes, and invoices that are all digitally paid and mapped right into your QuickBooks to make your life a little bit easier as a home service person, anybody, a field tech, anybody that's going to be. Yeah, it's an application that you're going to be
software. Could all be done from the phone.
100%. Could all be done from the phone. You could take cash payments, digital payments. You could take an ACH transfer. It's really on how you want to get paid.
So we use an invoicing program, as we spoke about.
Yep.
I say a lot of guys still don't. There's a lot of old timers. We talk about the plumbing industry. The average age is still mid 50s.
Yeah.
Try getting them to use tech. Invoicing programs are finally starting to pick up for the larger companies.
Yep.
The smaller guy has nothing.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy.
Because they'll gouge you at a price. Because they're assuming that you're going to have 20 to 30 employees. What about the guy who has only 3-4?
Yeah.
So when you called me and we were talking about Procured, the price point was good, that you guys are developing this. And so I was pretty excited to get you on, because this is an aspect of the construction blue collar industry that needs a lot of guys to get their feet wet in.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I also think, right, like you said, there's a lot of folks that are older in the industry.
Yeah.
And I think in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see a massive shift in who's the actual owner of these businesses, right? So at Procured, we're counting on that. That's sort of our bet, that the market is going to continue to grow. And I know that, we've talked about this, and you said that, some of there's a lack of plumbers right now, right? But from big picture data, we're actually seeing that the compound annual growth rate of this industry is at 33%. So what does that actually mean? It means that to 2030. And what that actually means is that they're projecting this industry to explode. They think that a lot of people are going to start coming into the industry. It has a much lower cost of entry to get into. You don't have to go to college and get a degree. Yeah. You go to a trade school for 2 years rather than going to a 4-year school that now is, price gouging.
It's 4 years of schooling for plumbing.
Oh, it's four for
it's
school.
4 years.
Well, okay. Well, if you go to day school instead, if you came right out of college, you go to day school and do 2 years. But
you can't work for anyone at that time.
Yeah. Right.
And most guys don't do it.
Right.
But it's, the schooling is, you're right. The to get into plumbing is way cheaper to get into like engineering.
Right. 100%. Like you need, you need a graduate degree, you know, a master's degree, right? Then all of a sudden you're looking at hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
Yeah. And you're crazy. More than welcome to bash college all you want. We do it all the time on this show.
Right. Well, did you go?
I went to school. Yeah.
You went to school?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Monmouth University.
Okay. Oh,
down
in Jersey.
In South Jersey. Yeah.
Did you grew up in this area?
Yeah. So I'm from Bridgewater. So it's like, what is it, an hour north or south of here? Right.
All right.
Yeah. Like northwest.
45.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, Jersey is where all the good ideas are born. That's where all the good actors are from, all the good musicians.
Best looking people.
Best looking people, the best attitude.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere else in this world to try to move. Like, this is always going to be home.
100%.
What'd you go to college for?
Marketing and management.
You live in the field that you...
Like I knew I wanted to be in business in some way, shape, or form, right? Like I didn't... If I went to school for, you know... I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a medical field, right? Yeah. And I went from medical background, and then all of a sudden I'm in sales, or you know, I'm managing software at a company. Yeah. It's just like, that's why'd you go to school?
But that's a common
problem. 100%. Yeah,
it's a common problem. Yeah. Guys, people don't get into the industry that they went to school with. A lot of times they get into an industry where you don't even need a degree. You know? Yeah.
No, for sure.
So, we kind of rag on college a lot.
Well, it's not about being anti-school. It's not about bashing the school, because listen, we still go to school technically.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people still should go to school and should go to university, because there is a benefit there to it. And I don't think that a lot of people should just like give up on those universities. But I always say that the majority of people are not, they're not made for it. You know, some people are just not made to sit down.
I'm not.
For sure. Go to class, read their books. You know, like, I didn't start reading until after high school. I really didn't. I started reading books. I started getting very interested in life and things after high school.
Yeah.
But somebody couldn't make me sit down and read a book and tell me to do something.
Absolutely.
That, you know? So.
School's not for me.
No.
But at least, you know, you have a degree and you're using it. You know,
yeah, and it's definitely not for everybody. I think you know, we're all cut from way different cloths. You know, it's just mentally and physically how we want to look at the world is much different.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think the other last tidbit on college is that I don't think it's just for getting an education, right? Like, you go to college to learn, and like, you go to college to figure out certain things and what you sort of want to do with the rest of your life. But I also think you build a network when you're in college.
That is true.
And I think that's something that people don't really talk about too much, right?
No.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the reason, probably, and we won't stay on this too long. Us as blue collar guys, I say this a lot. We have a great customer base. I'm third generation, so I have customers that my grandfather used to have.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So we have a good customer base. Generally, our customers are great, but especially in this area where there's a lot of wealth, we're looked as the uneducated. We do crappy jobs. We're literally dealing with crap. So there's an attitude, the way that we're looked at. A little bit that we kind of deal with.
System.
Yeah.
I see.
Almost like a caste system.
I gotcha.
And now we're getting to the point where all these people are coming out of college. There's no jobs to support their degree. And the trades are like, we're dying for people.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So we really push, listen, go work for somebody after high school. Go get a job with a landscaper. Go work for an electrician or something. Don't go right to college, because you're going to get halfway through college and not know what you want to do anyway. You're going to change your major.
100%.
So... at least you're, you know, you went to, mom was a great school. At least you went to, got a degree and are doing, you're in the field you paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Sort of.
Would you go back? Would you do it again?
That's a good question. For the price, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have probably done community college for 2 years and then transferred. Yeah. You know, you think about living in debt, or, you know, how much debt you have to live in.
This is what's unique. Sorry to interrupt you, but this is what's unique about like younger people. Like, you're 33 years old, so you're pretty young. Do you have a family yet or no?
No.
Younger people versus like the older, like boomer generation that we've, you know, interviewed, they're anti-college, a lot of the boomers, but they still force their kids to go to college.
It's so funny, and
my generation kind of see it, even though you went to college, you see it more so as a little, I guess because you had the experience, you see it a little bit more so for what it is.
Yeah.
And like you said, you'd recommend community college, or you probably wouldn't even recommend it at all, based off the price, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Yes. You put yourself in so much debt, and then you got to get a job right away and chip away at that debt.
Exactly.
It doesn't make too much sense.
They're
to
like,
me.
Oh, don't worry. You don't have to pay back for 6 months after you graduate. It's like 6 months is that.
Right. Yeah.
6 months is like
in this
week.
Economy, in this job market?
Yeah. Like I said, I'm super happy to have you on. Here's a great aspect to the evolving industry of construction, service work, and stuff like that is getting off paper invoices.
Yeah.
We see a lot of old timers in the supply house. They have employees who they're not training digitally. Like they have nothing set up. So their employees come up and they use paper, you know, I will say this, my phone is being used to record. I was going to pull up my phone, but whatever. I use my phone all day for everything. Like I said, we have an invoicing program. If I didn't have that, we'd be dead in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to keep track of invoices, estimates, to be able to send that out, to tie it into QuickBooks, you know how much, well, you do know, but it takes so much weight off your shoulders. Books is the worst part of a business.
And I think also too, right? Like you want to make sure you're compliant at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's the IRS.
Yeah. Let me take that back. That's the most important
Uncle Sam,
thing.
Right? Yeah. Right. Like you want to make sure you're in compliance. Right. Yep. That's probably the biggest, you know, reason why I was like the aha moment for me, why it's a necessity, right? At the end of the day. But also to have the ability to kind of like, on the fly, quick send an invoice and then quick receive an invoice. Because, mm-hmm. I've talked to a few folks across the blue collar home service space and they're saying that their two biggest problems are sending out invoices after a job and then collecting payment.
Yeah.
Oh. And so if I can solve A and B, you know, we're in the money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You are solving most of the problems out there.
Well, is this what I wanted to ask? Because we use a different program, obviously, because he's starting up his thing. Is this a saturated market or is this like wide open? Because I just wonder why somebody would get into it, but like if it's saturated, you know, you're competing against pretty big programs that are out there, you know, pretty big things.
So it's a good question. I think there's two answers, right? So I don't think it's a saturated market. I think that there's a lot of meat left on the bone, mm-hmm. right? Like the big players in the space are going to have their fair share of the market. But when we think about the TAM, like the total addressable market that's out there, there's a couple of avenues that I'm banking on and that I believe are there. And it's the small mom and pop shops that are going to need to adopt some type of digital because no one's going to want to send them a check in the mail. Yeah. And then the other piece of it is the fact that, you know, we've got a lot of new folks that are starting, that are younger, that are very tech savvy, that are going to be a part of, you know, the new generation of the home service industry.
They're going to build the 55-year-old guy's company.
100%.
They're going to make suggestions. They're going to say, hey, this is, we can make this easier. We can make this more efficient.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the ultimate thing. Like for guys like us, our moneymaker is being in the field, working on boiler systems, replacing fixtures, doing the work. All this extra stuff, and I add a lot of my own extra stuff. Like I've picked up a ton of social media.
Yeah.
We're running social media accounts. The podcast, yes. This, taking care of two dogs on the field that just ride around with us, just suck energy all day. You know, we put that on our shoulders. But as far as coming up, doing paper receipts for 20, 30 years, and then a young kid comes in and say, dude, I found this app. It's procured. What it does is I can build this on the field. It gets sent to the customer. Customer pays online. The old timers are going to have they're going to, nah, we don't need it. It's like ProPress. You know what ProPress is?
No.
Okay.
No.
So for years and years and years, you sweat copper with a flame and solder.
Okay.
Now there's all these newfangled tools. ProPress is one of them where it's a machine. You put a ProPress fitting instead of like a 90 on a piece of copper and it clamps it. With no solder, no sweating, nothing.
Okay.
So you're zipping through the job at this point.
Right, right.
Here's the kicker, though. Your material is through the roof.
Yeah.
So your labor goes down, your material goes up. We still got old guys. ProPress has been out for what, 15 years? Maybe
longer. Eh, longer.
You think longer?
It's been out long. It's like Specs has been out longer.
There's old guys that are, I'm not getting a pro. I don't need it. We sweat pipe here. We sweat pipe like men.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to get new guys in here. They're going to bring the app to the old guy. You're like, we write our invoices like men.
I'll say this.
Right. No, 100%.
It does dumb down the industry a lot. I mean, listen, with PECs, you know, sometimes you can just throw pe- like
you've, Pex's we've
seen it.
Work.
We've seen it. It is monkey
Pex's
work.
Pex's monkey helper work.
Yeah, monkey helper work. You know, but like going to his thing, it's like
it's a necessity.
It's a necessity, but you have to dumb it down for us because it's not the most intelligent of.
I will say this,
workers
when you guys,
in the trades.
You know what? Let's actually get into the background. What dumbing
tech
down?
Wise, dumbing it down tech yeah. wise. You know, like. That's the service.
We're
you know,
mechanics, you're man. We're not technicians. Well, we're not technical digital guys.
Yeah.
So this is the deal with Procured. All right. Joe calls me up. He says, listen, it's like a Kickstarter company. We're developing this program where you can run your invoices and estimates in the field. You can collect payments. So I brought you on to talk about this because of the big jump between the young guys and the new guys.
Yeah. And because of how many gripes that you have with our current.
I do have some gripes with our invoicing program. The biggest aspect, I think, and this is going to be your biggest seller, is that it ties into QuickBooks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the most important aspect, right? Is make it everybody's life.
I'm telling you, dude, guys don't know their numbers. They don't keep track.
Yeah.
They just basically take a crate full of paperwork, throw it on their accountant at the end of the year.
That's it. Yeah.
Going to a digital accounting software is a necessity at this point. And this is what we say all the time. We don't have all the answers. We don't know. We know the answer to this one. Yep. You need some type of an accounting program. There's no way around it. If you're going to even grow a couple techs, you need it. So what I like about your program, we use a program that's very extravagant and has all these features, and it's and they added more features and put this on. And, you know, it's cool that they have that, but it's very hard to navigate and get down. What I like about Procured is you're starting right at the basics. This is what you need before, if I can meet the requirements of A and B, I'm in.
Right.
Most guys don't need all the bells and whistles. They need estimates, invoicing, typing up jobs, the price book feature, and getting into QuickBooks so you can just go home on the weekend and not have to sit there in front of your books.
Exactly. Yeah. And we've kind of built the application so it really is only like 3 or 4 clicks.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can send out an invoice. Like
the
app I showed you.
Yeah. Very easy to navigate.
It's super simple, right? There's like 3 buttons that you can start with. It's like create a quote, create an estimate, create an invoice, and then you can send that stuff, right? So that's really it at its core. Yeah.
That's all you need. So we obviously are a small business entrepreneur tradesman show, okay? So I kind of want to delve into, how did you even say, you know what? I want to get into this. I want to start.
Yeah.
Were you guys just like at the bar or something saying, let's start a business? What happened?
It's a good question. I mean, so my background is in the tech space and sales. Right. So, you know, I've been in the tech industry for a pretty long time, and I had the benefit of being a part of an equity transition at a company, and I had called my accountant up, Mark Santangelo, who was actually on the podcast, a month ago, maybe 2 months ago,
two, three months ago.
Yeah.
And I was like talking to him about it. And we were like talking about potentially like what would the cost be to acquire a plumbing business or a HVAC business, et cetera, because, you know, I believe strongly that this industry is going to explode. And so I said, you know, what would it cost to acquire it? How much like would you need from a loan perspective? And, you know, just trying to like, you know, understand it from an accounting perspective. And he was like, you know, I know your background's in tech. Why don't you think about something like this? And then he's like, it's a big pain in the butt. Every end of the year, I got these guys dropping crates on my desk with a bunch of, you know, pink slips, you know, the classic 3-layer yes. sheets. You got your white, pink, and your yellow sheets. And he's like, I don't know what's what. I don't know what's been paid. Yeah. It's a freaking nightmare. And he was like, would you be able to do something like this with a tech background? Because I think that would be more applicable to you and your background. And so I have a good friend of mine. He's an ex-military. He was in the army for 10 years. He's on the digital side, a very, very intelligent coder. And, you know, his background has been in, he actually wanted to be a game developer is really what he wanted to do. He wanted to be like build video games.
Well, that's way cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. a much more cooler thing, I think, than building an invoice software. That's a much more
saturated market.
Yeah. That's saturated. For sure, right?
Everybody's building video
games. Everybody's got a video game. Yeah. Not that I actually know anybody that's built video games.
it gets the point across.
Right. So, you know, that was his background. And, We've been friends for a very long time. We actually, we met, you know, when I was in high school. I worked at like a Quick Check, like a little Subway type of vibe. Nice. And we were making sandwiches, and that's how we became friends.
Oh, wow.
And so he worked at the Quick Check and I worked at the Quick Check, and I was like, hey, you want to come over one day and hang out? Like, we'll, you know, shoot pool or something in the basement, or we'll drink a beer or whatever, go to the bar. And so we've just been friends since. And so, you know, fast forward 10 years later, he gets out of the army and he's actually going back to grad school right now to learn how to like get better at coding. And so I called him and I was like, hey, what do you think about this idea? And he was like, give me a couple of days. And, you know, literally calls me like 12 hours later and he's like, I can do this.
Yeah.
I'll build it.
Really?
And so, yeah, we've built it entirely in-house. We've not used a single third party.
Oh, dude, that's saving so much money right there.
We've saved so much money. It's like five figures in the amount of money that we've saved.
What is the average cost of building an app like? $8 million?
No, it's probably more closer to like 30, 40, 50 grand.
Yeah.
If you do it if you like outsource it to like third world countries, you know, India or like the Philippines. And
Okay.
The issue with that is like, you don't really know how the coding has been built.
Right.
You know, there's, if we wanted to upgrade it, right? Like, let's say, I don't know, we want to add a new feature. Then like the coding might be built in a way that you can't actually stack. You can't Lego blocks on top.
It's written in like Tahiti or something.
Yeah. And it's just like, exactly. And it's just like, what the heck is this? Right. And so,
so you had your own Rain Man build.
Yeah.
This amazing
sounds
program.
Like it.
And it's kind of
a pool.
Yeah. Shite. But it's funny because we were actually talking. We have like a company call on Mondays and at like, you know, 7:30 in the morning, and we were talking, and I was like trying to build out like a projections on how much money we think we can make, barring like at an annual cost, and how many people we would need to get to X dollars. And he's like, or you could just have your friend build an app for you and you could sell
it. Yeah, and that's it.
And I was like, well, that's sort of what I did, I guess. So thank you, Luke. I appreciate you and I love you.
That's awesome.
That is.
And by the way, from Mark to kind of steer you in that direction. Yeah. Was I think the best move, because we've heard of people procuring
no pun intended.
Yeah, well, small service businesses, plumbing businesses, HVAC, electrical, and what they do is they kind of change the dynamic of the whole business, mm-hmm. and it becomes like this corporate environment.
Yeah.
And you kind of run off the employees.
Yeah.
Like the employees don't want to work for those companies anymore, you know? So I think that was really cool, Mark, to kind of steer you in that direction.
Yeah, he was smart.
This is, I think this is a much better avenue.
Yeah, no, I'm super appreciative of Mark, and I had an opportunity actually to stop by his office today too and talk a little bit with him. He's a great guy. Yeah.
So the brainstorming for this, I'm interested in like the Steve Jobs and his garage aspect, how you just build upon that. So
yeah.
I wish I was good at tech. I've had a couple ideas for apps. They'd probably never take off, even if I could make them. So I'm not even going to try to even bother telling them to you.
Listen, pitch me. I mean, we talk offline.
But how going from your buddy, I can build this app. What's next? Like, who's figuring out how to brand that, how to take it to the next level, how to even take it to the first level?
It's a marketing guru right here.
Yeah. It's my college major right now. Yeah. I think... that's like all like trial and error stuff for us. I mean, it's been, you know, it's been, what is it, 10, 11 months now. And like we're learning on the fly and we're changing things up and we're like, you know, asking for feedback on things and kind of adjusting and pivoting. But like it started as like a literal Google Doc. And I was like, hey, this is what I need to do. I need to build the LLC. This is what you need to do. Figure out what code base we're going to be in and like, you know, figure out what coding we're going to use for the entire thing. And like, how much money do we actually need and where's that money going to come from? And so then we upgraded from a Google Doc to like a Monday.com And Monday.com basically just organizes, giving Monday.com a free plug. They essentially just organize certain like tasks that need to be done, and then you can score them, like how important they are, and then who's in charge of those tasks, and then add notes.
What is this Monday.com?
Monday.com. And yeah, and so there's a ton that are out there.
Like,
yeah, but they had a free version for like up to 2-3 users. So we were like, all right, we're going to use the free. Nice. We did as much freemium stuff as we could, and still doing freemium stuff.
That's the biggest lesson people are going to take from you, is how to do it for free.
Yeah, you got to do as much of it as you can for free, because you don't want to live in debt. And also, if you do want to raise capital or you do want to raise funding, they're going to be like, wait a second, you have like a negative revenue. You spent $10,000 and you have no money coming in.
That's a tricky, what you guys are navigating is completely foreign to me.
Yeah,
I'm a work with my hands guy. I get in, I say hi to the customer, I do the job, we get out. This is a whole aspect that, and it's, listen, there's a whole array of different avenues to take as far as a career path. But when you guys get to that point, you're moving up, you're sorting out what you guys are going to do. What do you do to, how do you pitch this to people? How do you spread the word? How do you raise money? What's the steps after that?
Yeah. So it's a great question. I mean, there's a lot to that. I mean, I think first and foremost, you always want to try to go after friends and family. Is this sort of the first place you want to raise money? Generally, they're not going to ask for a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to like a VC company, or you go to private equity, or you go to an angel fund, they're generally taking a chunk of equity of your business. And so you sort of want to steer clear of that for as long as you can. And if you can bootstrap for as long as you can.
What does that mean?
Like just be as clean as possible. Meaning like don't take any money from anybody.
Oh yeah.
Like use freemium products. Really, like I'm talking about if you're thinking about buying like clothes for yourself, it's like, hey, I need to save the $20 because we need to make sure it's in the bank account.
That's a sacrifice a lot of people. It's hard for people to make those. What is Jim Carrey? Stay where you're at because I want to pick up. But you made me think of a meme where Jim Carrey
stay where you're at. We need a Jim Carrey quote.
Yo, you're spicy today, bro. You're spicy.
What does Joe Rogan say? He's got his guy. He's like, hey, pull it up.
Jamie, pull it up
Jamie,
right
pull
now.
Jamie, pull it up.
You got to get Jim Carrey.
You got to get Max on here.
Let
Max,
me
pull
interrupt
it up.
Yes.
He wears headphones like he's supposed to be that guy, but he offers nothing to this except snide comments. Jim Carrey says, if you're not willing to sacrifice 2 years to have the life you want in 10, you care way too much what other people think. And I'll spend the $20 on a shirt, to be honest.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, so saving money, products as much as you can.
Premium as much as you can. Bootstrap as long as you can. And then, you know, I think you also have to make sure that the product is something that's desired, right? So
that you can stand behind it.
Yeah. Like, so for example, I reached out to a ton of folks in the blue collar space just trying to pick their brains, right? And it's like, hey, if I were to build this, would you use it, type of thing. And then I reached out to a bunch of accountants and I was like, hey, Mr. and Mrs. Accountant, like, how much of a pain in the butt is this for you? Oh, it's a big pain. Okay. Now what I'm figuring out is like, is that market real? Right. Is there actually something that I can go after and I can attack and I can make money? And is there meat on the bone?
Right.
Because there are players in the space. And I also argue that if there's players in the space, that's actually a good thing. Like, I don't want it to be like, if no one's in there, there's probably a reason. Right.
Yep.
If no one's swimming in the water, there's probably sharks.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just like, I think that the fact that there are competitors in the space for us is actually a super benefit.
You're going to take the things that they don't do or the things that they don't offer. Or like I said before, most of these, they're made for these huge conglomerates.
Yeah.
There's nothing for the little guy. There's no intermediate. There's nothing out there. We've looked, you know, when we first started.
Yeah.
So I think you guys are on the right track for that, for sure. And the market of is definitely not saturated.
How long does that process take from when you had this idea till when you can kind of launch, get it on the market, like for people to like use and be comfortable? I mean, obviously you're always growing and always developing, but like how long does that process usually take? Because this is all coming out of your, because you work. People forget that, like, you work. This is not the only thing that you're doing.
Right, yeah.
So you're spending your time and your money on this kind of a thing. And if this takes years, it's a lot.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, yeah, this is as of right now, like my co-founder, he's going to school full time.
Yeah.
And you know, he's the government, or not the government, but the military, if we, you know, after your certain point, they pay you to go to school, right? So he's in that period of where he's getting paid from the military, and he's like, he's not making, you know, tons of money doing this, right? And so the goal is, like, you know, that we eventually will be a profitable business. But it takes a long time depending on how you do it. I mean, bootstrapping is going to take much longer than if I have $100,000 in the bank and just start dumping money into this. We could have had it done in 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah.
But now, because it's going to take a little bit longer, there's two guys building a business, and we're everything to the company, right? Like, we are the CEO, the CRO, the CMO, right? Anything C-suite related is us.
Yeah.
And then, like, little tweaks that you run into. As an example, when on the invoicing app itself, you know, we had the ability to, you know, add a discount to your invoices, right? It's a very simple thing, you would think. But for some reason, there was an error in the code that the discount wouldn't apply to the invoice. So you could put a 25% discount and then it wouldn't show the $100, it wouldn't show 75 as the total. And we couldn't figure it out, and the difference was like a couple of numbers.
That stuff would drive me up a wall.
It's like, you know, it takes a couple of days, but you run into these weird little issues that you just never in a million years would have thought.
Yeah. You have to test and test and test and test.
100%.
How long did the interview process go on when you're talking to blue collar guys? Like, basically just inquiring how to build your, how long have you been doing that for?
Like, over the last year. I mean, and it's not
a full year of just,
and it's not something that I'm ever going to stop doing.
Well, of course, right? Yeah.
Like, because now this is my market, and I want to know everything I can about, you know, even today I said, hey, if I swing by a little bit early, can I swing on some jobs with you guys and just watch what you guys are doing?
I wish I could have made that happen. Yeah, it was a nightmare, and my truck's a mess.
Yeah, well, that's all good. But, like, you know, just learning about how my potential clients are going to operate on the day to day is really important to me, because I want to make sure that I am putting myself in your shoes. So,
dude,
I
would have thought 1000% do that whenever you want to come.
Cool.
Like, come out.
We'll set it up.
That's huge. That's important to actually know. There's a lot of programs that are coming out that they actually have no clue how the field is run.
Yeah.
They have an idea of what they think plumbers do in the field, so they tailor it to that. But, like, with my invoicing program we've had for a long time, I fought with them. Like, they had this, I can't remember the specifics, but the way they had their invoices set up and where you build it, it was so nonsensical. And I was talking to the girls on tech support or customer service that they have, because they have a chat feature, okay? Who know nothing, by the way. That's it. Yeah. So I'm like, no, what I'm trying to tell you is, plumbers don't do it like this. Like, the way you have this progression is completely opposite of how it's done in the field.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, we'll just pass that up on the, this is like, okay, we'll pass it up, but get it done, because I don't want to have to learn another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the fact that you're willing to come out, do a ride along with a plumber, which is probably going to be the worst day of your life, by the way, but that's important
for
development.
For sure. Absolutely.
It's like procured cares on what they're building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hugely important.
It's like, if I wanted to be a professional baseball player and I had an opportunity to sit with a Jacob DeGrom Mets fan. So Jacob DeGrom left the Mets, but, like, you know, if I'm sitting with Pete Alonso or hopefully Juan Soto, I don't know if you guys are baseball fans, but, like, you know, you get to sit with a professional baseball player.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that every chance I can.
Well, I appreciate you comparing us to professional baseball players.
Yeah, of course.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a quick break. We've been talking for a while. We're going to come back and delve into a little bit more aspects of this.
It's cool.
I'm super excited. Joe, thanks for being with us. And folks, thanks for watching. We will be right back.
Call Quartz Plumbing and Heating. Top-rated plumbers in North Jersey for over 60 years. And don't forget to keep treats for Frankie on hand. They'll help to subdue her carnal, animalistic nature.
All right, folks, and welcome back to Plum Bums Podcast, the Blue Collar Tradesman Show, where we talk about small business and entrepreneurship. We are here with Joe from Procured. Joe hooked us up with these sweet mugs for his invoicing and estimate program that ties into QuickBooks, which, again, is an amazing feature. How'd you come up with that logo? Who did your logo?
Yeah, so funny enough, I'm a founder of a darts team in New York.
You play darts?
Yeah, I play darts in the New York Dart League. No one, anybody that tells you is good at darts is lying.
I suck at darts, which means I'm really good.
Yeah. So you'd probably be great in our league. But a buddy on the team is actually a graphic designer, and I told him about what we were doing and how, you know, we're trying to bake in sort of the U.S. based, you know, American background, being in the military and having that veteran presence. And we came up with sort of this, you know, rounded edges to have the flag vibe to it and the red, white, and blue.
Answer the phone, you don't get an Indian. You get an American.
Yeah, well, it'll probably be me or Luke. Yeah.
What was the company? It's like Liberty Talk now. Like all those like American.
Yeah, the third party like handlers.
Everyone is don't just, do the impression.
Huh? No, don't do the impression. I'm not doing any impression. I'm just saying everybody is done with like the foreign accent answering the phone, or even if it's not foreign, it's just a machine.
Right. Yeah.
You call it and you get,
sure,
you know,
for sure.
So it's just annoying. Well, a machine company or whatever it is. If somebody calls Procured for customer service, just don't be a machine.
Customer service is going to be a tough aspect, I would feel, for you guys. You're building an app, and on the top of that, you have to maintain and deal with all your customers.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I mean, you have it not released yet.
You got to make a righty version of this cup. Yeah, I know I'm interrupting the conversation.
Put the logo on the other side.
If I put this down, now it's outwards. All right. Go back to what you were saying.
If you have, now you have to deal with the whole customer aspect of that. Like,
right.
Are you guys prepared for that, or how are you set up for that?
Yeah, so that's something that we're actively working on right now, is like an internal chat feature within the application itself.
Outsourcing to India.
And we're outsourcing. No, I'm just kidding. No, it'll be to either myself or Luke as of right now. And then, yeah, I mean, as we expand and as we grow and as we build new clients on, the goal is to bring on somebody to help us build that process out.
So you're not released yet. You're releasing... actually, you may be released by the time I put this out.
Yeah, maybe. Hoping.
Dude, congratulations on the release,
thank
man.
You so much. Thanks. Yeah. We'll find out more information at getprocured.us.
Yeah. I mean, this has to be... This is like at the top of the roller coaster.
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah, no,
like,
for
you're
sure.
You're right there.
It's really, really exciting.
You got to be like butterflies, nervous. I can imagine.
What if it fails? I'm just going to come out and ask the question. What's your exit strategy? What if it fails?
So, I mean, listen, there's an opportunity in failure, I think, right? Like, if it does fail,
you're one of those guys.
We'll figure out. Yeah. We'll figure out exactly why. Yeah. We'll figure out why, and then we'll
listen, all
readjust.
Jokes aside, there are plenty of lessons in failure.
Yeah, well, 100%. I asked that honestly. I said it as a joke, but honestly, because the last guy on our podcast said, whatever you do, whatever business you start, or whatever you decide to get into, have an exit strategy.
Yeah.
Because you can do well, and if you do well, you want an exit strategy, and if you can fail. If you fail, you want an exit strategy. You don't want it to just be crash and burn type deal. I'm curious to see in other people's field of business if, like, what they, you know, how they feel about it.
I think, like, for us, it's not as much of a, I mean, obviously we've added money, like put money into this, right? So there's financial loss. But I think it's more of a sweat equity thing at this point, right? Like, we've been working on it for a near 12 months. It would be a pretty tough blow for it to come, you know, crashing down. But, you know, I think based off of sort of the preparation that we have and we've put together, I feel confident that we'll be good.
I think you have all the pieces are coming together for you. I'm excited for you. It's, again, this is a blue collar tradesman show, but we focus on small business owners, entrepreneurs, and stuff like that. There needs to be, like, what's the word? Glorifying the entrepreneur.
Yeah, glorifying the entrepreneur. I think the biggest thing that separates it, that's going to separate you from other brands, companies that we've used, is you're trying to get to know your customer on the trade level.
Right.
versus just knowing the numbers and the know-how of your side of things.
Yeah.
You're trying to get to the, because you've asked, you said you've asked to come on a ride along with, yeah, you know, absolutely, some of your tradesmen. So it's unique.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's the best way to learn your customers is, yeah, to be with them, sitting right next to them, right, yeah, when they're doing the job.
So you guys are prepping for release, or if this episode, you know, when it comes out, you might be released right now.
Right.
The last couple steps to get there, what does that entail? What are you guys in the midst of right now?
Yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned, doing the chat function internally within the application, it's a little bit different. Like, as an example, this is a weird thing that most people would never think about, that, you know, we ran into a little bit of a problem, is like the customer of our client. So, for example, the Joe Smith that you're going and fixing the, you know, the toilet or the sink or whatever, that person does not have the app, right?
Right.
And so in a perfect world, everyone could have the app and then you could have in-app communication. We do not have that ability to have in-app communication because, you know, the client of our client does not have the downloaded app. And so it's like, hey, how can we figure out a way to create a chat function that, you know, everybody can leverage? And so that's something we're working on right now. And we believe that we've figured it out as of right now. But it's an interesting thing that we just thought of, that, you know, out of the blue, you know, it's something that just popped in and we're like, wait a second, that could be an issue.
I didn't even think about how hard it is to write code for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's not like, I mean, for some stuff, it's copy and paste, right? Like there's stuff that's out there and you can say, I want to create, you know, a drag and drop feature, or I want to have an option that gives the, you know, user a pick list or an option list, yeah, right? Like that stuff can be copy and pasted over, but there's some stuff that's not, and it needs to be custom written and it needs to be custom created.
That's a lot of work. You know, you were saying how you were trying to add that one, the discount feature, and there was just like one, there was a code that you had to probably go back to all and, right, figure it out.
Yeah.
That stuff, it's necessary. Right. You know, it's part of the job. I can relate to that when we're trying to wire in control and the wirings. There's something like you have to trace the wiring back to figure out which end switch is not allowing the control. That's the most frustrating,
for sure,
part of the job that takes so much out of you.
Right.
And to iron out those bugs right before release, like I said, like it's the anxiety's got to be up.
Yeah, so I mean,
I'm with you right there. My heart's out to you guys, for sure.
I think, like, I spoke to a CEO that I worked with, you know, years ago, about 2 weeks ago, and he was like, get your product to market, and then once you actually have people utilizing it, you'll know. You'll figure it out pretty quickly what needs to happen and what needs to, you know, be adjusted. And I think it's much easier to figure that out versus us trying to figure it out, myself and Luke trying to figure it out. But
yeah,
you know, once we have all of the stuff that we believe is going to be our go-to-market, you know, product, the next steps are, we're already registered in Android and Apple. So you'll be able to, once we turn it on, you'll be able to see us in both of those stores. And then it's pretty straightforward. You know, you download the application. We ask for some information from the folks that are going to use us, so we can put that on an invoice, and so we have some background about you. And then we get your billing information so we can bill you.
Yeah.
And then, it's pretty much, that's it. Yeah.
Do your friends and family believe in you?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've got
support.
I have I have an awesome family.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Yeah. I have an awesome supporting cast around me, for
that's
sure.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's super important, because I'll tell you, well, you know, being an entrepreneur, running a small business, any type of entrepreneurship or taking a risk, it's a lonely road.
Yeah. No,
it's
for sure.
It's very, very lonely, and because it sucks up all your time. You know, when your friends are like, we're getting together, I can't do that. I can't. Right. We're going away for the weekend, I can't do that. You know, so eventually you start to, in my experience, you start to ostracize yourself from the people you know.
For sure.
Not on purpose, it just happens, and then you're just,
and
you're
then
there.
A pug becomes your
and
best
then,
friend.
And then you, right, like therapy sessions with, right, her sitting where you are, and I just talk, yeah, to her through the microphone, right, and ask her advice, you know?
This is, yeah, how we have friends. We invite people onto, yeah, the show. This is,
got it, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, you know, and that's the life that it is. It's not easy. It's a lonely. Well, this really is mouth. I'm about to start breakdown and crying. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Max calls this podcast male therapy.
Okay.
So we open up and we talk about things, and then when we ride around the truck, we don't talk about anything.
So you guys just sit in silence with Judge Judy on in the background.
With Judge Judy. Well, the way that this started was we used to just put a camera on the truck and kind of gripe about the job.
Oh, really?
Or whatever it was.
Oh, that's cool.
And
was it working out?
It wasn't. Yeah. But he would make some cool edits because he's very good with that stuff. And, you know, eventually we just kind of decided maybe somebody does want to hear our bull crap.
Right.
You know?
As far as, okay, so I'm going to talk about myself a little bit, which I don't do often.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I actually am more of an art guy. Artistic, creative.
Yeah.
I'm not a blue collar worker in my bones. My uncle is. My grandfather was. I got some people in my family that are hands working, mechanical, technical.
Sure.
That's not like I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I'm creative, I do art. Like I'm more of a creative type guy. So when I had this opportunity to come up to take
over the
family
business. Where's that colorful book over there on the shelf? What does that say over there? I don't know if the audience can see, but
the two have nothing to do with each other. Anyway, so when I got into plumbing and I took it over, my uncle pretty much gave me full reins. He had no website, no social media.
Wow.
So I taught myself marketing and branding and what works and what doesn't, and basically the crash course on YouTube to figure this stuff
YouTube
out.
Yeah, YouTube is like a
So I started making a YouTube channel and making videos and designing my website and designing this, like figuring out the color scheme. So even if you're not in, like my uncle was on here recently. He goes, people are going to tell you, find something you love to do and you'll never work a day in your life. He's like, that's BS.
Right.
Okay. Because you're going to love it for a little bit and then it's going to become work.
Sure.
What I would say to people is you're not going to get your dream job. If you do get your dream job, great, but it's a very small percentage. But get the job and find your strengths and alter the job to you. Like, there's not a lot of blue collar guys out there like me. They get into this industry because they like working with their hands and solving problems. So that's what I found. I said, okay, I'm taking over a plumbing company. How can I make it creative? YouTube channel, podcast, designing the website, stuff like that.
Dogs. You
know? Dogs.
Throwing dogs into the mix.
Yeah. So it's a lot of guys don't want to. They're like, oh, I want to be a plumber the rest of my life. I want to be an electrician. Are you kidding me, dude? You can build your whole brand.
Yeah.
Like, the sky's the limit for that.
Yeah, right.
So every time I meet an entrepreneur, there's always a spirit that's like a kindred, you know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Because not everybody has it.
I hate losing. And so I hate losing more than I enjoy winning. And
that's true. I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah, and so that mentality is something that I've had my whole life. And
put that on a t-shirt.
Right,
hold on, you have to put it. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah.
From Step Brothers.
Have it on the screen. But I think that's the mentality that you have to have if you want to own your own business, because you're going to lose a lot. You're going to lose a ton. And you have to find joy in some of the losses, like, you know, some of the little things you're like, oh geez, I can't believe that just happened, but it is what it is. Like, let's move on.
It's frustrating
for sure.
You do need the attitude of, all right, I got to move on from this instead of dwelling on it.
Yeah.
It's not easy. We don't know each other very well at all. Okay. We met because you heard from our accountant, you wanted to come on.
Yeah.
Most people who come on the show.
I can't believe that worked, by the way.
What?
The whole, if you want to come up to the show, it's been all the people that we know, like, been friends with for 10 years at least.
Yeah.
And then he comes on and we're like, well, we got to ask somebody questions? I don't know what to do here.
Yeah.
No, as far as hating losing more than you love winning, when I fail, it's...
All of River Edge knows it.
It really affects me, dude, because... I want to win. I want to be successful. I want this month to be profitable. I want to get out of this crap that we had to deal with this summer. I got to, you know, so every little loss, I think that's the perfect attitude to have. That's the perfect way to sum it up. I think we're going to steal that for the tagline.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. I'll take a 5% royalty, all I guess. Right.
You can have 5%. No problem.
5% of nothing is still
no problem. But, so you're, like I said, we talked about before, you're prepping for release soon. How about investors? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so...
Where do you even start? You said you started with your family.
Yeah, I think friends and family for any type of money that you would need, right, is sort of where you want to start, because generally they're not like sharks looking for, yeah, you know, net profit every month and saying like, hey, how many clients did you attain this month? And like, you know, I think when you get into some of the VC and professional funding that's out there, you know, the professional financiers, they're looking to make their money back really quick. You know, if you borrow money from mom or dad or your brother, sister, cousin,
you can
wife,
stretch it out.
You can, it's like, hey, like, this is what I'm doing. They understand, yeah, you. I'm not saying take advantage of your, you know, friends and family, right? But like, they're not gonna like come knocking at your door every Monday,
yeah, right?
So, for us, like we don't need any funding right now, which is like one of the blessings I think of our business. We have a very low overhead cost in the
we'll
single
take some funding. Yeah. Us on the other hand. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're interested, you know,
this is my give send go, right?
Yeah, right, right. This is just my Venmo. Put it up here. Yeah. Just send me money.
Frankie needs surgery.
Right. But I think like, you know, we'd be open to conversations. You know, I think it's got to be a really good fit, because I don't want to go into business with somebody that doesn't understand me and our product, yeah, and our industry.
You have to mesh well.
100%. It's like a relationship, right? Yeah. So you want to have a good relationship with anybody that you're going to go into bed with.
Yeah.
When it comes to business, so.
So right now it's actually just only a 2-man operation,
yeah,
right?
It's super
just
grassroots, yeah, almost.
Wow. Yeah. Two folks, and that's it.
That is so respectable.
Versus what's your biggest competitor? How many people does like your biggest competitor have?
I don't know. There's a few out there. Like there's 1,000 plus, 10,000 is one of them. I mean,
10,000?
Yeah.
Employees?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. It's got to be close to 10,000, I think. Good. I mean, we could check LinkedIn after. But I think like when you get to be that big, then it's such a bureaucratic business.
Do you have, yeah, a cap? Do you have a limit? I mean, it's a weird question to ask, because some people are like, well, no, I want to get as big as I possibly can. You would think that, right? But yeah, like, even when people ask us, I don't want to be the biggest plumbing company in the state. I want to be a good sized plumbing company,
manageable,
where it's manageable. You know, what about you?
This is a good question. I mean, I don't think I have like a limit on how many employees that I want, but I don't like it, think about like Instagram. It sold for what, like $20 billion to, mm-hmm, Facebook or now Meta. And it was like 60 employees, right? Like if you think about, yeah, some of these monster conglomerates that have been sold off, they're really, really just like fast, nimble teams.
Yeah.
I think once you get into the hundreds range, it's kind of like, you know, what is everybody's job?
Right.
Like, you know, are we hiring people just to, you know,
I feel like it's all seats, fake at that point.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah. And so it's like, you know, how many people do we need to do the same job?
Yeah.
You know, and
but would that be the long term plan?
I don't
think 60 employees, 100 employees.
I think like, we'd want to get more employees, but I don't like the way that I'm looking at our business right now is sort of into like Q4 of next year. and so by Q4 of next year, I think like the max amount of employees that we would want to bring on is maybe one or two max. And so like, cause we can build this and be really nimble based, yeah, off of the data that we've, and the research that we've done.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is in tech, but I'll tell you, in our industry, payroll is the biggest expense, hands,
yeah,
down.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
You got to watch your numbers like crazy. And the fact that a program like yours will take all your invoicing, editing, put it into QuickBooks. I know for a fact most guys in our industry, in the electric industry, they don't watch their numbers. It's,
yeah,
the biggest problem. You can be a great plumber. You can be a great electrician. You can be phenomenal. But your business will go down the tubes because you're not watching the numbers. You don't understand the numbers. The plumbing 100%. Test, actually, to become a plumber for a long time, actually for up until recently, there was no testing on any type of business knowledge or business understanding. They were giving guys these licenses. They would go out, and in 2 years, their businesses, crazy, would go belly up.
Right.
So they're handing out licenses left and right for no, you know, and then it's fruitless.
Yeah.
So they incorporated a business section on the test and stuff, because they're like, if we're going to send these guys out to have some kind of business, because you're not going to get it in high school or anything. You will learn that mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Right.
Well, the business section.
But you
section,
won't learn anything about taxes or how to.
Right.
I'll say that the business section does mostly involve the law. That's what they're considering business.
Well, it's I actually sympathize with that. Because us who get into a business who are dealing with people who have a lot of money and understand the law.
It's like you need to be insured.
Yeah.
That kind of, that's the, it's like what you need for your business.
I think it's important, you know, to send guys out. And these aren't like high school or college age kids. These, a lot of guys get licensed in the middle of their life. And they don't have that wisdom at all. And whatever wisdom they learned in high school is gone by that point. Yeah. Except mitochondria.
Right.
I'll never forget that. Or mold day. Do you remember mold day?
No.
In chemistry? Did you take chemistry?
I'm sure I did.
I did. But
some number, Charles Mole or something came up with this number, and now the number translates to a date, and that date of every year is Mole Day.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know why.
I thought you said mold. Like
no,
M-O-L-D.
I thought you said
mold
day M-O-L-E.
Yeah. Okay.
You got a day for mold? Sure.
Yeah.
High school was pointless, man. How we talking
I feel like
about
you
this?
Had such a bad time in high school.
No, I loved high school.
High school
I had a blast. I had the best high school. I had the best friends. I was liked, you know, I had great high school experience, but
I was liked in high school. Now you can forget about it.
Well, a lot of people weren't liked in high school.
Yeah.
But I had a great, I loved high school, but I just hate, I can't focus. I can't sit down. I can't sit there and read a textbook or sit in class and pay attention for 45.
It's all right. Nobody's making you do it.
Well, I'm just saying anymore. This is why that's the aspect of high school I don't like. But what bothers me about high school is, and this is coming up, especially now, whatever your political leanings are, but about like the whole Department of Education debate now going on now. Why don't we learn how to do our taxes in high school or how to start a business?
Because they want you to be a worker. They just want you to be a worker. They don't want you to be an entrepreneur like him or like you, you know? That's why they push certain things.
Well, it should be. It should be in the curriculum.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You used to learn how to grow your own food in school.
We did. I remember in elementary school we had a garden, community garden.
Yeah, really? We had a garden as well.
I think everything you need to learn for life stops at eighth grade.
I can.
Let's get those kids to work at 14.
I can see that.
I'm just kidding. That's controversial there.
Bring back child labor.
So I don't want to delve too far into the future because, you know, you guys are fresh. But, like, what's the next 5 years do you think going to look like for you guys?
I think it's going to be, I mean, it's all exciting, right? I mean, this is all net new. This is going to be my first business and Luke's first business and our first time like being in business together. Funny enough, I actually play guitar and sing and do stuff like that. And he's a pretty talented musician as well. And we used to record music together back in like high school and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you play?
I play guitar. Like I have like
just a guitar.
Yeah. I have a couple guitars. I have a Strat. I have a Gibson acoustic. That's my dad's from like middle school.
Oh wow.
Yeah. And it's sick. That's we don't cool. touch that actually. It stays at my parents' house. And then my like pride and joy is my Taylor.
I played a Taylor once. It was like a $4,000 guitar.
Yeah, it was my graduation gift from college.
Dude, it's like butter.
Yeah, it was like $2,000, I think. It's not like the top notch one, but it was, I mean, this is a crazy gift from your parents, you know, when you graduate, because I was learning on, my buddy gave me a guitar for free in college. And he was just like, hey, I'm not going to use this. I'm going to throw it out. Do you want it? Uh-huh. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it.
That's you cool. learned in college?
Yeah.
You didn't grow up playing music?
A little bit here and there. Like I had like two lessons when I was growing up and I was like,
that doesn't count.
It doesn't. Yeah. I feel like that doesn't, you know,
wow.
My dad was like, I want you to play.
Nice.
And then, I'm YouTube taught, you know,
do you read music?
No, but if you showed me like a G, D, F, like I could play all that.
Okay.
So I can't read sheet music, but,
chords, I don't read music either.
Chords. I know.
Chords, tabs.
So it's just a company of savants over there, huh?
I mean, YouTube is just like, you
dude,
know,
YouTube's the best.
Taught me more than any other platform. You know, it's
100%.
It's crazy. I mean, there's, you know, it's like you have the one like weird tech error on your phone and then you're like, how do I get rid of this like random tech error? And there's like a video with like 10 million views.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like this 30 second clip of how to get rid of it. And you're like,
all these other programs that are trying to compete with YouTube. I don't think it's even possible at this point.
ChatGPT.
What?
ChatGPT.
I haven't
doing everybody's homework.
Yet. Yeah, I will say
everybody's
I have
stuff.
Made the transition to using AI to develop the reels for the show now.
Okay.
I use AI for that because it would take me to pump out and sit there, because I did a lot of details on them. I would pull clips and insert them when people are talking on the reels.
Okay.
So that was time consuming. I don't do that anymore. But it would take me like a full 8 hours to do like 20 reels.
But how do you use AI? What do you do?
All I do, it's, should I say that? No, I'm not going to say it. After I upload it to YouTube, I take the YouTube link, I put it into my AI program, and I say, I want 30-second clips. Boom.
Smart.
20 minutes later, here's 50 30-second clips. Right. It generates a title. It generates a transcription.
Crazy.
It generates a rating on how the topic you're talking about is trending in, like...
Oh, wow. That's nuts. Yeah, that's really cool.
It's AI.
Doesn't it optimize, like, SEOs, too, or something like
it'll
that?
It'll optimize. Where, like, it'll give you titles to use and stuff like that that'll push you to, like, the algorithm and stuff. I have no clue what AI is going to be like in 5 years. Look what happened in terrifying. The last 1 year.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Like, what? It's developing so fast.
Yeah, there was like pictures with, like, you know, it would say like generate a picture of a person, and the person has like 25 fingers.
Yeah,
right. And now it's like
the Will you Smith can't eating see spaghetti. The
difference.
Yeah.
Remember the Will Smith eating spaghetti
course,
one?
Of course. Yeah.
Where his like head is folding in on itself.
Right.
It's and
just
stuff.
Like all messed up.
And now he's just like,
it's a picture of Will Smith.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nuts. And it's all, that's 12 months.
Like, do you remember? I think it started. I think the first big one was like the Tom Cruise deepfake.
The guy was
like using some sort of artificial intelligence to like.
He was doing the face tune.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was like really, really good face tune.
And he switches to another like, person. Is it?
No. It's some other guy. It's not Tom Cruise, but like, he'll like do things in the same way that Tom Cruise does, like make his movements,
his mannerisms
and all that stuff. But the face, the body, the voice was Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Like,
I haven't seen that
one. It's kind of scary when you think about it, because you can like...
what is our court system going to look like? You can use video
evidence in courtrooms. Like,
Right.
pretend to be another person.
It's going
to
be crazy. AI, the way it has developed so fast and fine-tuned itself so fast. I don't know, man. James Cameron, Terminator, was... he may have been right on point.
Right, yeah.
And that's what I keep saying. Like, all these people who are developing these robot dogs and now, like,
I know, that's scary.
Machine gun mounts and stuff. Like, has anyone ever watched a movie, for Christ's sake?
Like, have we not seen Terminator yet?
Yeah.
Which
is one of my favorite series ever.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that series.
I mean, so, how do you not love Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Right.
The voice.
He's still killing it, Arnold. He's still out there making... I think they're going to make 2 more Terminator movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, they're going to have to drag him across the screen.
Right.
They're not making him do that.
I think... So, Schwarzenegger did a cameo in the Terminator that had... who played Batman? Christian Bale. And they're supposed to do a trilogy of that series of the Terminator. And they only got one out. But Christian Bale signed on for 3 movies. But I don't know, Hollywood contracts, they probably go up and down, left and
see
right.
See what happens. Movies are dead anyway.
Yeah, there's
AI.
There's
been dead. Now you can just make your own movies.
Streaming
AI.
Services, shows, or like, what do they call them? where you do like short season, it's like a movie, but it's dragged out for like one season.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it called?
What do you mean?
Like what? It
Give
can
me an
technically be a movie, but it's dragged out for like a season, and that's it. They only have
they
it
only
for
have
a
one season.
It's not like, let's say, Game of Thrones, where they don't know when it's going to end. We just say, okay, this is our last season at season 7.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
You know,
yeah, of course.
You did?
Yeah, that's the worst ending to a show.
I'm still butthurt about it
in the history of any TV.
You want to talk about the downfall of greatness? He never watched it. He refuses.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
one of those guys where like, everyone else is watching it, so I'm not gonna.
Well, like, so what's your TV series then? Like,
so
top two.
That's
three.
My thing. Like, I don't even if a show is good,
he'll hate it because everyone else loves it.
No.
Unbelievable.
I don't have the, I guess the commitment to finish a show all the way through, even if it's great. I don't need to stop it. I don't need to stop the show. I think the only show that I ever watched, and I didn't even watch it fully through, actually.
Vikings.
And after the main character died, I was like,
Bjorn Ironside.
Yep,
and
I gave it a couple.
And it did the same
season,
thing.
A couple episodes after that, I'm like, man, you know what? I'm done.
Shows are never good past the 5th season.
You know, I just watched recently. I started Fargo.
Okay. I heard it was really good.
First season, unbelievable. Billy Bob Thornton, amazing. I watched the second season and I'm like, I can't do this.
Okay, interesting.
Just completely different characters, completely different people, and I'm like, you're just bouncing around but calling this the same show. Done.
Oh, so I think there's a couple of gems, like the Sopranos, The Wire.
Never saw it.
You've never seen The Wire?
Never seen The Wire.
Oh my god.
Good. Well, everyone talks about it.
It's like it's one or two. Sopranos, The Wire are like the two.
Is The Wire HBO?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. I think it's HBO. It's hard to, like, I don't know who owns who nowadays.
We've delved into your product a lot. We can talk about this.
I'm just gonna say if you live in New Jersey and you don't watch, haven't seen at least some of The Sopranos, get out.
I think that's fair.
Just to touch base on Game of Thrones. I put it off for a long time because I was like you. Oh, everyone loves it. I'm not going to watch it. And then I was homesick and my buddy had them all downloaded and I started watching it. And by the time he came home, I was like a season in and I was in. Bro.
Yeah.
I was like,
it's gripping.
The best TV.
Another creator from New Jersey.
Who?
George R. Martin.
Is he?
He's from Bayonne.
Really?
Wrote the whole book. Looking at the bay over in Bayonne.
Oh my gosh, that's awful.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that show was so unbelievable. The dialogue was amazing. The character development was amazing. And Jon Snow dies, and the show just.
I thought you said he came back to life.
He does come back.
He does come back.
It just did this downturn progressively, and I held on to hope all the way to the last episode that they were going to redeem themselves.
I could not believe how they ended.
And
it.
I sat just like, there.
Yeah.
You know what show remains great?
Betrayal. What?
You know what show remains great? Always will be?
What?
Judge Judy.
Totally comparable, by the way. Judge Judy and Game of Thrones. Judge Judy's the queen. We found out Joe watches Judge Judy. How can you not love this woman?
When I would come home from high school, there's no your parents aren't home yet from work. You'd throw the TV on. It was Dr. Phil and Judge Judy.
Why are you so sweaty? Yeah. I was watching Cops. I was watching Judge Judy.
I was watching Cops.
I go. He starts working with me, and I was like on a Judge Judy kick for a long time. I watched it every day at lunch when I ate lunch alone in my truck. So we worked together in the same truck for the first 6 months. So we stopped and get lunch his first day. And I was like, I set up my phone. He's like, I'm just going to watch this while I eat lunch. It's the thing I do.
Okay.
And Judge Judy starts playing. He's like, are you freaking serious? You watch Judge Judy? A week later, I drive by him in the deli. I walk by his truck. He's got Judge Judy eating lunch in his own truck.
No way.
Judge Judy and Kitchen Nightmares.
And okay. Kitchen Nightmares,
I love that.
Oh, man. Joe, listen, thanks so much for coming on. Yeah. This is a cool insight, and I've got to tell you, I'm going to push your program to all the guys I know that don't use anything digital.
I appreciate
it's
that.
It's time to get, it's 2025, people.
Yeah,
it's
digitalize
yourself.
It's
time to move on. And I know so many dudes who need to take that step. It's insane.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll do one, and I'll tell you why. If everyone in this area, as far as plumbing, let's take plumbing for example. If everyone starts getting on the same page as each other and doing basically, not the same stuff, but have a general similarity between how we operate and how we do business, it'll uplift the entire industry because there's no guys lagging down here, pricing everyone out on jobs and stuff like that. It'll put everything into perspective and build the industry.
It's not a spiral to the bottom.
Right.
Like what Mike Medaglia said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, too, at the end of the day, like, you're doing the work. You want to get paid.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like figure out a way that you can invoice quick and get paid quick.
You said the biggest problem, A and B. Guys not getting paid and send. What was the second one?
It's guys not getting paid because they're not sending their invoices.
Yeah.
You know, it's taking too long to send the invoices, and then getting paid is you know, drags right behind it. Yeah.
So, like I said, by the time this airs, your app will probably be out there. How are people going to find you?
Yeah. So you can find us at getprocured, procured.us. That's our website. And then if you email info@getprocured.us, we'll answer there as well.
You can't just download it off the App Store
yet. You can absolutely download it off the App Store. But if, you know, questions, comments, concerns, they can be directed at us there.
Perfect. So I'm going to
scroll that up. Is this how the app logo looks?
Yeah. That's the app logo right there. Red, white,
and
blue.
Can't miss it. Red, white, and blue, baby.
Veteran-owned business. So
nice.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really important.
Very cool. Joe, thanks so much for coming on. I'm glad you reached out, man. Guys, thanks for joining us. Like I said before, we're always looking for cool people to come on, talk about their business, talk about their industry. If you're interested, go to quartzplumbing.com, fill out the click the podcast link, and then fill out Be a Guest application. We'll get you on. We'll talk. We'll have. It's basically one long commercial for your business. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like no, you're just absolutely. Plugging away. Like
yeah, I'm waiting for people to start reaching out the second I get out of here.
Yeah. Well, our followers are just they're banging it. There's a whole line of like girls like an NSYNC concert out right, there. Right. Waiting for actually the dogs, but
I still can't believe this worked. I still can't believe this dude is here. It's unbelievable. This is like a serious man. Over. He's got a serious job with a serious startup business, and he decided to come on Plum Bums. Podcast. He answered that ad. All right.
No,
we're moving on up.
I'll plug your stuff for sure, and the information you gave, it'll be in text at the bottom of the video.
Cool.
But again, folks, this show is sponsored by Jigsaw, JigsawPMR.com, mold, fire, water, sewer, mold nice. Remediation. Any disaster, he'll come and take care of. He's got all these cool little toys. He's got this cool UV gun that has
heat light. It's like a heat light.
It's some kind of heat light. It's this screen. I want one, but they're like $3,000.
I want one.
You shine it into a... It'll tell you if you have water moisture behind the wall at like 0.2%. Insane. This guy will completely take care of you, soup to nuts. Great contractor, great company. So check out JigsawPMR.com. And as always, folks, be sure to check us here next time. Like, share, subscribe. We can always use subscribers, viewers, sharers. Get the word out. We really appreciate it. And we will see you here next week.